Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, where it's extremely warm on this Saturday, August 25th. The temperature's in the high 90s, but it feels like triple digits. 97 feels like 105, so that's where we're calling from. That's what we're doing the show from North Texas in late August. Today we're going to talk about the politics, everything going on with President Trump. I think you're seeing, frankly, another round of Trump derangement syndrome, which I think is going to be counterproductive to the Democrats because they're engaging in overreach. I'm not saying that some of the criticisms of Mr. Trump are not justified, but the way they react to Trump, I think, is frankly a little bit self-destructive for the Democrats, that is. There's also a fascinating some fascinating reports about NAFTA. Apparently, that has just about been done. Apparently, there's some very good progress on the China trade deal. What I find interesting about NAFTA is that we have negotiated directly with Mexico rather than with Mexico and Canada. Frankly, I think that's a good thing because they're two different countries. I mean, when NAFTA was created back in 1993, and I remember that debate quite well, the idea was to create like a North American common market, if you will. It was kind of a response to the EU, the European Union. But I think what we've learned over the years is that it's not a bad idea to have a North American free trade market. But the problem is that Mexico, and particularly Mexico, is very different than Canada and the United States. So I think we're better off negotiating directly with Mexico, cutting a deal directly with Mexico. I think it's also better for Mexico, actually, to do that. And then, you know, do a deal with Canada, or if Canada wants to come in later and join the deal, that's fine with me. But I'm glad that we've negotiated mostly directly with Mexico because I think that's better for Mexico and better for the United States. One way or another, it does appear that NAFTA will be signed on pretty soon. I think the big issue, apparently, from what I've read in the news reports, the big issue is that President Trump wanted to do basically an agreement that you would review every 5 years, and Mexico didn't want that. And that apparently was the biggest separation, or the issue separating the two. I think maybe 5 years is too soon, but I do think that looking at this every 10 years is probably not bad for the United States and Mexico because things are going to change. I mean, Mexico is going to be a totally different country in 10 years than what it is right now, particularly with respect to the economy. I mean, those of us who know Mexico quite well, I can tell you that Mexico is a totally different economy today than it was in 1993, and I have no doubt that it'll change even more over the next 10 to 20 years. So looking at these things every 10 years is not a bad thing, but I am happy to see that we are cutting a deal and we're getting close to a deal. As for China, look, I've always been a critic of China. I think China takes advantage of not just the United States, but frankly the world. I think they've been dumping products for quite some time. So I have no trouble with getting tough with China. It looks like President Trump has. And I think that's good for the United States. It's also good for the world. Even though he doesn't seem to get credit from other countries, I think this is good for the world to get tough with China. Well, let's talk a little bit about Trump and the Democrats. There's a big story that appeared today in the McClatchy newspapers. This is a really good newspaper. I enjoy reading it quite a bit. They have correspondents or they have newspapers across the country that they feed. I guess it's a little bit like the AP. I think it is. It may be a smaller version, obviously, of the AP, but they have a bunch of small town newspapers across the country that you know, they feed with national stories. And they have a fascinating one today about Democrats apparently do not want to talk about Trump in the elections. They would rather not talk about Trump. They want to talk about what they like to call kitchen table issues. They think that talking about Trump and talking about Russia collusion and talking about Trump and whatever her name is, Stormy Daniels or whatever, they think that that's just counterproductive, that people don't want to hear about that. Now, on that, they happen to be 100% correct. I think the country is completely disconnected from this daily scandal machine. I think most Americans have tuned it out. The only people who care about this these daily scandals are the people who already hate Trump. If you hate Trump, then these daily scandals, whether it's this one or this one or that one, it's like an addiction. It just gives you more and more stuff to live with. But I think that there's a very significant part of the country, particularly voters in the middle of the country, voters in suburban and rural areas, who may not like the way President Trump talks, okay? But I think they're sick and tired of these scandals all the time. They're also looking at the results from President Trump, and those results are pretty good, you know, the economy and so on. So the Democrats have decided that, you know, we're not going to talk about Trump anymore. We want to talk about kitchen table issues. I mean, if you look at that on the surface, it's probably a smart thing to do from the Democrat standpoint. The problem with that approach or that strategy is that the Democrats are not really in agreement as to what these issues ought to be. For example, Medicare for All. Medicare for All is something you continue to hear from the Democrats. But not all the Democrats are in favor of this. There's a lot of Democrats who don't want to run on Medicare for All because they know that eventually they're going to get a question at a town hall meeting, how are you going to pay for this? And they don't really know how to pay for it. Because as they learned in California, you know, in California they were going to do something like Medicare for All. And they did the numbers and they realized that, you know, it isn't really going to fly. From what I remember in California, you know, doing Medicare for All or some kind of health care for all type program was going to end up costing more than the entire budget. So I think a lot of the smart Democrats, particularly the ones in competitive elections, realize that they cannot do Medicare for All. It's simply not going to fly. The numbers are not there, and they simply have no way of rationally presenting the program to voters. But then on the other hand, you have the Bernie Sanders wing, and they've been electing quite a few of those, who want to do Medicare for All. They want to do a lot of stuff for free. I mean, they basically have a very socialist agenda. So that's what I see the problem. I think, you know, on the surface, it's a good strategy not to talk about Trump, but the problem is that many of these Democrats really are not in agreement on what the party's agenda is. And that's what I think the problem is, that they're not agreeing with each other on things like Medicare for All. They may want, you know, they may talk about lower premiums, and that's okay. They may talk about education, but there's disagreement among Democrats as to what to do on those issues. And that's why I think at the end of the day, they always go back to Trump. Because Trump is the one thing that they all agree on. Trump is the one topic where they can all agree on. The problem with Trump, as we mentioned a minute ago, is that I think that's a dry hole, I think, for the Democrats. At some point in time, they simply have to realize that they're just digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, the country is just not in the mood right now to hear about another Trump scandal. So we'll see how it goes. But I think it's fascinating that the Democrats don't want to talk about Trump anymore, according to that article in McKagey. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos right under the show description. You'll see a link to his website, and you'll be able to get information as to where he is and where he's playing around town. I mean, he's a great musician, a wonderful friend of our show. And if you're out, you know, if you're going to go out to dinner, have a good time, hey, check his schedule and see where he's playing. He's many of the places that he plays at are some of the finest restaurants in here in the Dallas area. Well, I say happy number 72 today to Raleigh Fingers, Hall of Fame Major League pitcher, who was a great closer. May have been the first of the generation of closers, what we now call the closer, meaning the guy who comes in at the end of the game and gets the save. He became very successful with the Oakland A's in the early 70s. They won 3 World Series, and then he played again with Milwaukee in 82 when they went to the World Series. He didn't win that one, but they were in the World Series. But Raleigh Fingers, and if I have a post about him in my blog today, and he was the one with that great mustache. You know, they had that great mustache. He looked like somebody out of the 1920s or something, a great mustache. But he was a heck of a pitcher. Raleigh Fingers, happy number 72. And we remember a great movie on this day in 1939. The Wizard of Oz was released in the United States. One of the interesting things for me about that movie is that I finally saw the movie a few years ago. I hadn't seen it before. I saw bits and pieces of it, but I had never actually sat down to watch the movie. And I did a few years ago. You know, we just rented the movie and put it in the player and watched it. I guess you don't do that anymore. Nobody's renting movies anymore. They have Netflix or whatever. But anyway, we still have the machine where you put it in, the old-fashioned way, I guess. But we watched the movie, and it was entertaining. It was very entertaining. I mean, the music was good. The story was fun. So anyway, The Wizard of Oz, I think it's one of the great American movies, without question. What I find fascinating is that The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind were released the same year, 1939. You would think about 1939 turned out to be an amazing year for movies. Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz. Now, I don't know which one came first, but you think about a year that would produce two movies like that. I don't know too many other years that we can say that produced two amazing movies in one year. Maybe there is. I'm not an expert on Hollywood and movies, but I think it was fascinating and incredible that we had two movies like that in 1939. You know, we have been, as a country, we have just been impacted in a very negative way by what I would call political correctness. Political correctness is killing us. It's making us angry. It's forcing us. It's basically, you know, people don't want to talk anymore. You know, you walk into a meeting and you don't know anybody and you're like inhibited. You don't want to crack a joke. You don't want to say anything because you don't know who you're going to insult. And I think it's actually hurting the country a great deal. I really do. I think it's instead of creating more dialogue and creating more communication, and we need more dialogue and we need more communication. The problems that we have in the country, we've got to talk about these problems. We have to have honest discussions about these problems, and sometimes that means saying something that somebody doesn't want to hear. Anyway, this political correctness is just crazy. I just saw today, and I posted about this about an hour or so ago, there is a car driver, NASCAR car driver. Now, I'm not a big fan of NASCAR. I don't really know that much about the people who drive. So the names, I'm not familiar with the names. I think his name is Derek Daly, I think his name is. Derek, let me look closer here. Derek Haley, whatever. Anyway, Derek is his first name. His last name, I'm not 100% sure of. But apparently he is being denied a sponsorship because his father in the 1930s, who was another driver, his father in the 1930s used the N-word at some event or in some interview or whatever. So how crazy are we getting now? Are we getting now to the point that we're going to say, okay, your father used the N-word 35 years ago, therefore, we're going to deny you a sponsorship. You're going to pay now for what your father said 30 years ago. Is that going to be the new standard now? Well, that's crazy. That is just absolutely crazy. It's unfair for one thing, but it's just crazy. It's just beyond explanation. So I hope they fix this because we're getting to a point, as I mentioned, with political correctness where it's killing the country. It's killing the country. And when you see something like this, where someone is being denied a sponsorship, a NASCAR driver is being denied a sponsorship because of something his father said 30 plus years ago, That's insane. I just don't know what else to say. It's just totally, totally insane. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Have a great Saturday night. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.